Well, I just got some good news. My auto insurance for the upcoming year, my premium has gone up $400 a year on my auto insurance. Same car, no accidents, no problems. They just decided, well, it's another year. Let's soak them out of an extra $400 for no reason whatsoever. My home insurance has gone up by about $400 in premium for the upcoming year as well. That's $800 on insurance for no reason whatsoever. No claims placed, no problems. They just decided, we need more money from Ron. Let's bill him for it. He'll have no choice. I could switch to another insurance company. They may bring my premiums down by like 25 cents, but then I know the next year they're going to go up by $1,000. Then I got notification from my electric company, my utility company, that their rates are going up as high as 20% on the next bill. That's great too. So let me just ask you a question. What the hell's going on?
The following program is brought to you in living color.
You know, on top of that, remember Hurricane Harvey, which was back in August? it did a lot of damage to Texas. And it did a lot of damage to the oil refineries, the rigs that are out in the ocean there. They had to be shut down. They've all been online now for well over 2 months. And yet the gasoline prices at the pump are on the average of about 20 to 25 cents higher than they were before the hurricane. There's no reason for that. You can't tell me that all of a sudden oil prices have gone up, oddly enough, because of the cost of oil per barrel. No, that's about the same. How long does it take for us to get our refineries back online so that the prices go back to where they would? Well, here's the thing. They don't have to go back to where they would. There was a problem, and now we can pay more before the problem even existed, and this has nothing to do with the problem. And again, I ask you, what the hell's going on?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
I sound so upset, don't I? Sound so upset.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Oh, I'm so upset. Hold on tight. Yeah. Things can get a bit weird.
All right.
If you like that sort of thing.
I do sound so upset today.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. A much quieter, calmer Ron Van Dam.
What the hell's going on? What the hell is going on?
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Good to be with you, good to see you, and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be a very expensive year. This Trump guy has been president now for a year, just about a year, almost a year since he took office, and I'm not noticing anything of any consequence. In fact, I don't think America's great again. I don't think it's any better than it was, perhaps worse off than when he took office. Maybe that's just me, but that's what I'm seeing. And as if this weren't all crazy enough, I was told by my doctor that I have a new physical problem. problem number 73. Apparently, I could have, we don't know yet, we're not sure, but I could have an overactive bladder. Yes, my bladder is acting overtime. My bladder apparently doesn't know how to act. I've raised my bladder in a good home. I gave it all the love and caring and alcohol I could feed it, but for some reason my bladder is overactive. It's just out of control. And I said to my doctor, is this something that I can do anything about? And she said, well, maybe you can drink less water, but I also want to tell you, you need to keep hydrated and drink a lot of water. So, okay. There are no mixed signals there at all. That's fine. That's good. Yeah, apparently, we're not sure if I have an overactive bladder, but that phrase did come up by my doctor. And of course, as I've said many times, my doctor is a female, and she is talking about my bladder. This is a topic of conversation between us. And I never really thought when I was younger, not that I'm sexist, but I never thought that I'd be discussing my bladder and all those kinds of things with a female. Because they I'm a heterosexual. She could be my sexual partner. She's not, and she could never be, and she won't be, but she could be. And I was comfortable with that. I was comfortable with that until we started talking about this stuff. So she says to me, it's possible, Ron, you could have an overactive bladder. And I said, all right, I'm going to make believe I know what that is, but from the terminology, it sounds like my bladder just doesn't know when to quit. Apparently, I'm urinating a bit more than I used to. Now, look, sure I am. When you get older, not that I'm old, but as you get older in life, your parts start to break down and you don't replace the parts. You either live with the broken parts or you try to maintain them as much as you can in the shop by bringing them down to the mechanic. These parts are starting to go south on me, I suppose. This bladder that I depended on for all my liquid containment apparently is saying, I can't hold this anymore, Ron. I can't hold it anymore. We're starting to get leaks in the hull, and I can't hold on anymore. So I guess I'm getting leaks in the hull. I don't know. For a while, my doctor thought I had irritable bowel syndrome, which I think I talked about on the show before, and apparently my bowels are irritable. They're irritable. They're not happy with things. My bowels are not thrilled, pretty much. I don't have happy bowels. They're irritable. My bowels get up in the morning, and they're in a bad mood immediately. I tell my bowels all kinds of jokes. I tell them bowel jokes, which I thought that they would like. I don't know a lot of bowel jokes, but I do know a few, and my bowels don't seem to appreciate them. They're just irritable. They're bitchy. I got bitchy bowels. That's what I have. That should be the medical term, bitchy bowels. So, but then they stop being irritable. I guess, I don't know, maybe it was a seasonal thing. Maybe when the winter comes, they get irritable and a little depressed. I have depressed bowels as well. So, I'm sorry, bowels, sorry. You women have no idea. You have no idea what we need to maintain here. Yeah, I know you got your problems. Men got their problems too. There are all kinds of extra stuff going on in a male as well. And, you know, we all got our problems. So I thought it'd be interesting if I got a doctor to discuss the problem with me on the program a little bit later. The overactive bladder, the bladder that just won't sit still. Just won't sit still. Just when you think you're good, 10 minutes later, you're not so good. So we'll be talking to her later on in the program and find out about that. This is one of the things that both men and women deal with, but we don't much talk about it at all. You don't talk about that stuff. You don't go into work and the boss says, "All right, Johnson, how was your weekend?" "It was pretty good. My bladder, man, was it overactive. Whoa, woo." Telling you, bladder just don't know when to quit. "That's terrible, Johnson. You're fired, by the way." "What?" "Yeah, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this about your bladder, seriously." You don't discuss this. You don't go out to dinner, you know, at a nice restaurant, order the steak and say, "Hey, you know what? I got to tell you, my bladder, it is so overactive. Ugh, ugh. You have no idea. It's just been irritating me. Oh, wait a minute. Those are my bowels. I get confused."
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. We do this every single weekday, except for Halloween. Actually, I did it on Halloween. I'm sorry, except for Thanksgiving and Christmas. What a wonderful person you are, by the way. I just wanted to say that. I'm going to butter you up like a piece of toast. So you know, I know you're listening to the show, I get it. We're available right here on NewEnglandTalkRadio.com, NewEnglandBroadcasting.com, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the Podbean Network, on your Alexa app thing, the Amazon Alexa thing app. We're all over the place. SoundCloud, RainCloud. Want more information, it isn't available, you go to the Facebook thing. It's New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. There you will find absolutely nothing. It's there. There's just nothing much on it. I also do a blog where I, in writing, express my discontent. You can find that on NewEnglandBroadcasting.com and NewEnglandTalkRadio.com. I tweet, I twat, I do as much as I can for the good of the people. That's so funny, I can't even imagine. All right, that's enough. I don't know if you know this, but I wrote a book about 12 years ago. Something like that. Maybe it was 10 years ago. I have no concept of time anymore. I wrote a book called Shut Up, I'm Walking Down the Aisle. For decades, I was a wedding videographer. Kind of still am, but not really much anymore because now it's boring as hell for me, but used to be exciting. Used to videotape weddings, and that was a lot of fun. And, you know, it was a good job. Good job. But I wrote a book that expressed the background information. It's a funny comedy book. It's about the funny thing, not the funny things that happen at weddings, but the funny things that people do when they're booking a wedding and preparing for a wedding and getting nervous about a wedding and the brides and the grooms and their relationships before the wedding. It's fascinating reading material. It's available on Amazon still for some reason. It's doing all right, I guess. It's called Shut Up, I'm Walking Down the Aisle. If you're interested. And the reason that I bring that up is about a week ago, I made a decision. I live in the New England area, And it gets rather cold and snowy for a good number of months, say 3 or 4 months. And so you search for indoor activities. And to me, that would simply be sex. But, you know, even that after a while, you know. So I decided it's time to write another book. So what I'm doing is I'm taking excerpts from this program and this radio show that I've been doing for 20 years, 25 actually, and I'm trying to find the odder, stranger expressions that I've gone through in my grumpy comments and put them in this book. So probably by the end of the winter, that book will be available, and I'll tell you all about it so that you can buy it and I can make some more money. That would be nice. Thanks a lot. You know, I don't charge you to listen to this, so at least you can do is buy my book, but don't do it yet because it doesn't exist yet. I don't know. I have no idea either. I really don't. I'm not sure about it. I was watching a television, which I tend to do a lot, come to think of it. And I was watching a furniture commercial, and I don't know which one it was. That's how effective these commercials are. I know it was a furniture commercial, but I don't know what for which furniture store. And if I watch a commercial over and over again to the point where I'm going to comment on it like I am now, but I have no idea which furniture store it was, you can believe that's not effective advertising. If I actually wanted to buy your furniture, I wouldn't remember which one you are. That's the problem with television commercials. By the time they're over, most of them, I have no idea. I have no idea which company you were talking about or even what your product is half the time. Simply that your commercial annoyed me enough to talk about it and think about it, but ineffective enough so I don't even know who you are who did that commercial. So I'm not going to buy your product because that totally skipped my mind. So it's not effective. And I think most of the American population can agree with me. So I'm watching this furniture commercial, and the guy says in the furniture commercial, he says, we're the official furniture store of the Boston Red Sox. And I said to myself, that makes no sense at all. That makes no sense at all. As a matter of fact, it makes so little sense that you actually, to me now, sound very stupid. And if I wanted furniture, I probably wouldn't go into your furniture store if I could remember which furniture store you were, because what you just said is so freaking stupid. And I don't like to hook up with stupid companies. Here's the Boston Red Sox. They play baseball. I'm not into baseball, to be honest with you. I think it's the most boring sport ever invented, to the point where the announcers start talking about things that have nothing to do with baseball because they are so bored. Seriously, listen to the announcers at a baseball game. They, for the most part, will not talk about baseball. They'll talk about themselves, their families. They went out to dinner last night, a steak dinner down the street when they were flying in for the game. It has nothing to do with the game itself because there's nothing happening. There's a group of like 9 guys standing in the field playing with themselves, literally, and all dressed in their pajamas with different colors, and half of the team is too fat to run back to the dugout at any decent speed. And every once in a while, a little ball will be hit toward them with a stick. They pick the ball up and they throw it. This is a sport, ladies and gentlemen. This is a sport. Doubleday, you're a genius because somehow you came up with a sport that a lot of people love for no reason whatsoever. It's just an odd game. It's one of the slowest moving games ever devised. It's a game for lazy people that just want to stand outside on the grass. I don't know. Might as well pick up a rake and get some leaves going there because there's nothing else to do out there. I remember when I played baseball when I was a kid, I was on a little softball team. When you're a kid, it's called softball. And those balls aren't soft, by the way. Not those balls. But it was softball when I was a kid. The balls were bigger. They're like grapefruits. And I would be playing left field. And I would stand out in left field, and literally for hours, I would have nothing to do. These kids that were at bat, you know, we were in school. They couldn't hit the ball more than 3 feet if they were lucky. I just stood out there in the field and I started picking daisies. I mean, I started imagining what my life would have been like if I'm thinking about this like a 10 years old. What would my life be like if I weren't standing out here in this field for hours doing nothing? Anyway, so the Boston Red Sox, this big professional baseball team, apparently the organization has endorsed this furniture company as being the official furniture company of the Boston Red Sox. That means nothing. When I think of furniture, I always say to myself, what would the Boston Red Sox do? I mean, are you serious? Are you serious? It's simply an endorsement. It's they pay the Boston Red Sox to use their name, thinking that if they mention the name of the ball club in connection to their furniture store, that all these mindless, vapid baseball fans will say, oh, if the Boston Red Sox, if they recommend this furniture, it must be good furniture, because who knows furniture more than the Boston Red Sox? They are the furniture baseball team of the world. They may not play great baseball all the time, but they know their chairs. They know their end tables. They know their chairs and end tables. It's just stupid. I don't know which furniture company it is. If I did, I would never go. It's an advertising ploy. Are you stupid? Are you stupid or something? Are you stupid? As soon as you become a baseball player, now you're an expert in furniture. The entire team buys from this furniture store. Maybe. Do you know why? Because the store gives them a discount, asshole. Are you getting a discount? No. Are the Boston Red Sox getting a discount? Yes. Good for them. What does that have to do with me? I'm a fan, so they're getting a discount, and I'm a fan, and they know furniture? If they weren't getting a discount, they wouldn't be buying furniture from this store. They'd get it from another store. What the hell are you talking about? The official furniture store of the Boston Red Sox. Got to be kidding me. Who do you think I am? Who do you think I am? You think I'm just a grumpy guy that does a radio show? No, actually, that's true.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hello, Doctor. How are you?
Good morning.
Pleasure to have you. Good. Dr. Anam Chuchu joins us now. And she is, we're talking about, well, you practice female pelvic medicine. You're a urologist. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
That's correct.
Because I don't have those things, so I just want to make sure. Okay. All right. We're talking about an overactive bladder, which I could have. I mean, this could be really for anybody, but I guess we're talking about women at this point. But what exactly is an overactive bladder, so we know?
Yeah, so overactive bladder is a chronic condition that affects the bladder, and as you mentioned, affects both men and women, but women are disproportionately affected. Mm-hmm. And we know that over 33 million Americans have overactive bladder, and about 46 million adults over the age of 40 experience overactive bladder symptoms at least sometimes.
Okay. Now, is this considered a disorder, or is it considered something that is just a matter of aging and something that happens?
Well, it is more prevalent in older patients, but it certainly affects younger patients in their teens or 20s as well. So it affects everyone. And unfortunately, it's a chronic condition. So we don't have a cure for it, but we have treatments that are able to make it more manageable.
Okay. What is actually happening with an overactive bladder? Why is that occurring?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So overactive bladder itself usually is characterized by frequent urinations. That's running to the bathroom eight or more times a day.
Right.
And these people often have sudden and strong urges to urinate and often will have difficulty making it to the bathroom without leaking or having an accident, and also getting up at night. And sometimes this is caused by a neurologic condition, but often we don't know what causes it. It's just a condition that happens in some people.
Would you say that it would be more quote unquote normal to have frequent visits to the bathroom overnight as opposed to the first incident that you discussed where you don't even make it there in time during the daytime when you're awake? Are those two different levels?
Yeah, I would say that you're more frequently going to have, or for me in my practice, I more frequently hear that patients are going to the bathroom more frequently, getting up at night. And once you start having accidents, yes, that is a little bit more severe.
All right.
Severe spectrum of the condition.
Okay. Is this something that people are readily, I mean, we're talking about it, but I'm sure in what I do and what you do, this is a normal part of conversation. But most people might be embarrassed about discussing this?
Yes, absolutely. So in a survey that was conducted, looking at, essentially there were 2,900 women who completed this online survey, you found that 40% actually keep it to themselves, and they do not confide in their friends, they don't confide in their family, they don't even confide in their physician about these symptoms, and exactly what you said. It's caused by embarrassment, mostly.
How would I know, or how would a woman know, when it's time to discuss it as opposed to feeling that, all right, you know, it's somewhat under control? I assume that if I'm wetting my clothes, that's an extreme situation. Is that how you gauge when you do something about it, when you don't?
Yeah. You shouldn't have to wait until it's that severe where you're having accidents and you're wetting your clothes. But certainly you will, one of the first signs that you'll notice is that it's starting to alter your daily routine.
Yeah.
So you should have control over your bladder, and your bladder should not control you. So if you're noticing that your bladder is starting to control you, that's probably a good time to sit down and have a conversation and see therapies are available for you.
I have a question for you, just between you and me.
I
never understood the whole process. When I urinate, I figure I'm empty now and I'm good for a long time. And yet, sometimes half an hour later, depending on the situation, maybe how much beer I've had or water or something, how can I be filled up again? I thought I emptied myself. Psychologically, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and that's something I hear very often. So not all fluids are created equal. So you probably are emptying, but that's part of what your physician would evaluate if you came in to come see them.
It's
to evaluate and make sure that your bladder actually is getting empty. But there are certain fluids that will cause you to run to the bathroom more frequently. And so that includes beer, which you mentioned. So it has some diuretic properties, meaning that it has your kidneys produce more urine. Caffeine, soda, those types of things will also have the same effect.
The kinds of things that everybody drinks every minute of the day, whether they should or not, is another thing. Okay. There's a phrase that's been coined, I don't know if you coined the phrase, behavior, and as humorous as that may be, it kind of helps you know, be a little bit more upfront about it, I guess, when you start using terminology that the layperson would say, hey, you know, yeah, I can talk about it now.
Right, right. And that was the purpose of the survey and also the purpose of the Stop Stalling campaign is to try to reduce the stigma and make it more comfortable and acceptable to talk about this issue, and also to recognize that you're not alone. There are a lot of other men and women who are dealing with this condition.
Okay, why is it more prevalent for women?
You know, that's a good question. We don't know for certain why it is, but it's probably related to childbirth and menopause and other conditions that women commonly experience and that men do not.
Okay. Is there anything that one...
So the prostate does eventually cause some issues for men as they get older.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I understand from what I've been told in interviews that if you live long enough, you're going to have prostate disorder or prostate cancer even. Yeah. So I guess...
That's correct.
That's wonderful. Okay. We all live with stuff, I guess. Okay. Where do I go for more information?
Yes. So stopstalling.com is a website, and it has information on the condition, so the symptoms that we've been here discussing. There's a doctor discussion guide there, starter questions that you can take in during your discussion with your doctor to help that discussion go more smoothly. Also, a quiz to kind of discuss your bathroom behaviors and see if it's normal or not normal. And Stall Stories, which is a video series that Estelle has put together that essentially has Ellen Karras, who's a comedian, who pairs with experts to discuss why women should stop stalling.
Good.
These interviews are literally, they are actually conducted in a bathroom. So it's actually quite funny.
This is wonderful. This is good. Smart stuff. I appreciate that. Okay.
Yeah.
Good information. And God, it's nice to hear talk about something that most people actually do go through, and it does open up the conversation. Very, very well done. Dr. Enamchukwu, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Out of time for today. That's better. Out of time for today, but I'll be back tomorrow with another show. Thank you to my guests and my bladder for putting up with this and for putting up with you. Thank you for you putting up with me and buying my furniture. I actually acquired a deal. Many people don't know this. We haven't cut the commercials for this yet. But I am actually the official radio talk show of the Southeast Colonoscopy Center. Yes, that's true. Nobody knows colonoscopies more than me and this program. And next time you have to get your colonoscopy, you think of me, and because we are the official radio show of the Southeast Colonoscopy people, and we're very proud of it. They furnish the latest equipment, cameras, and long, painless tubes. So next time you need a colonoscopy, you think Ron Van Dam, and you'll be glad you did. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.